With us today, we got Joe, Trigger Joe Britson.
All right, let's go.
Boom! To try to get a matchup with Ngannou. Oh! Goes the win! Francis Ngannou!
This is just a fist. When I start throwing it around, I can leave one hell of a mess. Let's dance.
Multiple occasions. Wow. It looks like they're going to swing to the very end.
And he wasn't kidding.
Wow.
It's very rare.
What a finish!
Another one.
Really poses the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Trying to take care of business, trying to get to
It's a knockout!
Oh my
It's a knockout!
And it's closing in! Trying to finish it! Hit it's over!
Because I'm going to take this foot, and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
Buck is brought to you by Modelo.
I killed it!
And, oh, we have a new nickname. Okay, we have William Send It 7 Pearson. All right, other than that, we used to call him Willie Pete. We used to call him the Mad Russian.
Bobby. I think you've had enough.
Noah?
Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Wow.
How good is this?
Finish him!
Another one.
Everybody gets triggered. It's just if you become a pansy. That's in the Book of Brawl.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You gotta be very careful.
What's up, sports fans? Are you looking for a job? Do you want to change in careers? Do you want to own your own business? I got the answer for you. This show is brought to you by Fleetex. Fleetex is partnering with veterans with mechanical or electronic experience. Fleetex specializes in on-site deployment of GPS tracking equipment and cameras for fleet vehicles across our nation. Check out what they do at www.fleettex.com. Apply today. Currently targeting veterans living in Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. Local work and travel opportunities may be available in other areas. Fleetex proudly supports our military, its service members, our veterans, and their families. Enjoy the show.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Sports Betting Show with your host, Trigger Joe, Send It 7 Pearson, and the Big Earl. UFC, NFL, if it's on, we're betting on it.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What's up, Grunt Works Nation? All right, we are back with your UFC and NFL pick'em. Now, last week you just had the NFL, which the Big Earl did okay. All right, we made a little bit of money last week. Nothing really shocking, nothing crazy. So, I mean,
fucking Trevor Lawrence ruined me.
No, that was dirty. That was
just, you know, my 11-year-old son hit the nail on the head when he looked at me and said, "Dad, I know the Lions lose a lot, but 9.5 to the Buffalo Bills right now is disrespectful because they've won 3 in a row." And I was like, I love this kid. I love him because that's exactly what I thought. The big girl would have loved him because the Lions cover, but they lose. Am I wrong,
right,
Nick?
It's true. Before every game, 30 minutes before every game, I was telling everybody on VTT's Big Earl how to bet on Thanksgiving. And if you bet with me, you made a shit ton of money. So, like, I went $50 in every game plus a $50 parlay that paid freaking like $480, right? So, hit every single game.
Banga, as they would say in Dave's opinion.
All right. Anyways, so there we are. We bragged a little bit. We just got to let you know the disclaimer, betting. Don't do it if you don't have money, all right? And then pay attention to how we bet. I explain it every show on how I bet with the way these two experts pick and then the way I bet on the NFL games. So, again, just remember, just like any other problem in your life, if it's causing you problems, it's your fault, okay? So don't do it, all right? Find a way to beat it. Other than that, have a great Friday. We got 10th Mountain Bourbon. Bill's drinking some, like, Kona seltzers or something.
Kona Blondes.
Kona Blondes, okay. And then Joe's probably got Corona in a can. We don't want to start that one up again. So it is what it is. But we got VTT's Trigger Joe and the champ, Bill Send It Seven Pearson. And they are here to give you your UFC picks. Make sure you stay around until the end because they're going to give you their locks, their parlays, and their DraftKings sleeper. And you'll see it running across the screen all day. Go to shop.veterantrashtalk.com. Or go to gruntworksclothing.com and put in the code VTTGW and get yourself a shirt like this. All right? That's George Washington, who was the last time the United States won in the round of whatever they're in the World Cup, which I think George Washington played for. So hopefully...
He was the goalie.
He was the goalie. So he was a tall guy. So hopefully they bring it back. But all right, if you're watching on Gruntworks or Veteran Trash Talk, say hi, say where you're watching from. And if you got a comment about the fights or whatever, make sure you leave it on there and we'll cover it. Okay. Well, guys, no UFC, so you've had 2 weeks to prepare for this one.
And, it's actually a really good card, to be honest with you.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect. What do you got, Joe?
They're trying to compete with NCAA Championship Week because they made it a free one. All the way to the main event, it's on ESPN, according to what I'm seeing right now.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So they want to compete. And I think it's valiant. They've put some pretty serious talent up. You know, I'm a diehard college football fan. And my boys are playing for a Big Ten title tomorrow night. But I'll definitely be swapping over to catch UFC here and there.
Hey, where's George at? There's George, you're on the thread. George, he's not coming on today.
For the civilians out there, it is 9:07 at my house, and George is in bed.
Now it's talking about Pardos, but
George Pardos, he's in bed. He's been in bed for 3 hours.
He's been in bed for 2 weeks now.
Right after his cream of wheat.
Mm. As he would like to say, the Ohio State Buckeyes got heel hooked. Yeah,
I like to call them the Ohio State butt guys.
So those
they bring up the rear.
So those of you who don't pay much attention to our page, we have As for Football is a bunch of West Pointers that put together a football podcast. And Joe,
and they needed an NCO.
All right, goes on there, and are you beating them by 30 games this year? Like, it's absolutely insane how dumb these West Pointers are, and then how smart you are. Like $100,000 education and the Mad Colonel can't even pick the right team.
Colonel Rob will love this clip. Yeah. He'll love this clip. Yeah.
So then you got Dano who tries to be wisecracker on Facebook and it's like, dude, you're losing to an E5 with a GED, right? Like
good who's job. That, me?
Yeah.
What do you mean GED?
It sounds better. It sounds better, Joe.
All right. And you don't got to make me special needs to make it sound better.
Bryce Harper. Hey,
Jesus.
Bryce Harper got a GED. All right, let's get in.
Well, I can't hit a non-moving 98 mile an hour fastball 500 feet.
Yeah,
so that's the difference.
When he was 16, he was 515 at Tropicana Field. Stupid. All right, so we got a middleweight fight, and you got Anders at 14-7 versus Dawkus at 11-3. Now, when remember, don't listen to anything I have to say, all right, when it comes to fights. I was paying attention to this, you know, I was doing my research, and then I realized that Eric spells his name with a Y. Okay, so right away he can't.
You don't know what that was from. I don't want to be your friend because that was funny. Eric.
All right, so. Anyways, I'm going to go with Dawkus with a knife hand strike to the throat in the first round. All right, Bill, what say you?
I'm with you on Dawkus. I'll give you that. I think I like Dawkus. I think this is the better of the Dawkus brothers, to be honest with you. I think the last I checked, Dawkus was a minus 225. I probably agree with that. I think that's probably about right. This fight could go either way, but I still got Dawkus by submission on this one. I think Eric Anders tends to pull out these weird split decisions that tend to probably shouldn't have been split decisions. But he's a decision guy, but he's also shown he could be submitted. And if he was fighting the other Dawkus brother, I wouldn't be worried about the submission. But this Dawkus will absolutely submit your ass. So I got Dawkus by a late first, early second, probably Brabo choke or armbar. But I got Dawkus by submission, late first, early second.
So you can't knife hand to the throat? Is that illegal?
That's 100% legal.
Yeah. Like I want
to. It's possible he could knife hand to the throat. Not advisable.
I want to be Chung Lee and you know just have him watch him die because he spelled his name with a Y. Right, so
that's very good, but brick not hit back.
It is possible, yes.
Not Denmark, neither is this. Sorry, I had to do it. You know, the funny part is the real Frank Dukes actually looks like the guy who played Jackson in Bloodsport. Like the real Frank Dukes, the special operative Frank Dukes. Yeah. Is a big bearded guy who looks like Jackson. And I always thought that was funny about the movie. If you ever saw tape of Frank Dukes.
Yeah, maybe Frank Dukes was like, hey, like the actual Frank Dukes was like, you can play Jean-Claude there, but you need to put someone looks like me in the movie.
Him and Jean-Claude got into it on the set and they went up to the roof of the motel that they were shooting it at. And Frank goes, okay, Jean, you know, show me what you got. And he said he was about ready to piss his pants because Frank Dukes is a big dude and Jean-Claude isn't. And Jean-Claude was sharpshooting him on the set and Frank had had enough of it. And he goes, all right, let's go up to the roof. You show me what you got. Nice. And it was over after that. But I'm with Bill on this one. As much as Dawkus's last outing against Roman Dolidze was very scary because he got bullied up against the fence by a bigger guy in TKO'd, and Eric Anders is a huge guy for the weight class. But you know, he's been there forever, Eric Anders, and he's a career journeyman. He's a tough fighter. OG, all the guys respect him. And Dawkus, I don't know if he's tough enough to out a guy like Anders. Anders has only been finished twice. Subbed once, TKO'd once. So I think that Dawkus uses his length and the fact that he's averaging two more sub attempts per fight and that he's a little more accurate on the feet to grind out a decision here. So I got Chris Dawkus majority or unanimous decision.
Ah, okay, perfect. So again, those of you watching for the first time or those of you watching that check in here and there for about 15, 20 minutes, hey, stay along to the end. They'll give you their locks, their parlays, the DraftKings sleeper. And if you're not betting with these guys, this is the only group of people, these two experts, that will give you picks like this for free. All right? Like, they have pretty much already paid for my Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
All right? For so
now.
It's
for now it's free.
Yeah, for now it's free. Yeah. But again, like, we'll see. I mean, we might just keep it for free. Who knows?
If you're listening for the first time, you'll say what anybody would say with an education. Everyone can give you picks. Vet our stats.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything else.
Last UFC. 100%.
Just check our stats. I'm comfortable.
Not only do they go 100% on their picks, they also went 3-for-3 on certain fights that in rounds. So that was freaking legit. All right. Which you make a lot of money on if you bet those in parlays, which I did. All right. So anyways, let's go to the next one. And it's a middleweight fight again. And you got Hermanson at 23-7 and Dolidze nuts.
We're talking about Dolidze again.
All right. At 11-1. And you know what? When I was doing my research on this fight, and again, if you just tuned in, I don't do any research on these fights. All right. So when I was doing this research, I realized that it's Roman, right? Roman created the pill that competes with Viagra to get your dick hard, right? So rumor has it, Roman's going to slip some of those into Hermanson's pre-workout, right? And Hermanson's not going to be able to dance around like he always does. So I'm going to go... I'm going to go Roman here, second round. I'm going to say tap out because, I mean, I think Hermanson's just going to be too jacked up. Joe, what say you?
You know, like Bill said, we just talked about Roman Dolidze. He TKO'd Chris Daukaus in his last fight and pretty viciously. Yeah. You know, Roman Dolidze is he's a bully. He's from the Republic of Georgia.
Ooh.
He is a Georgian,
the first Saint Javelin,
and he gets over on being the bully. Like he gets some juice to it. If you've seen him fight, it's got that high school behind the rock feel to it. You know, he'll scream. He gets real intense. He went in there and JP Baez had a wife who fought in the UFC. He no longer has a wife because she's dating Roman Dolidze now. So I
mean, why wouldn't you? They used his blood to make a boner pill.
Well, Nick, this will make you laugh. Science. JP Baez is like a 135 pounder. Roman Dolidze walks around at 200. His wife left him for Roman Dolidze. So you know how you're always trashing these small guys. He literally lost his wife. That's a true story. She fights in the UFC as well.
I mean, are you upset if you're 135 pounds and your wife leaves you for a 200-pound UFC fighter? Are you upset?
I can't blame her.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I?
Like she went up. She didn't go down, right? Maybe she went down. Right. She went down. She went down on the way up. So
if you love her, she's happier with a 190. I see what you did there. Yeah. If you love her, she's happier with a 200-pound male.
Right.
Don't get mad because two of you doesn't make 200. But no. Jack Hermanson against Roman Dolidze is an incredibly good matchup. Dolidze is on fire right now. Hermanson's an OG, and he's a tough, tough dude. He doesn't finish a whole lot of people on the feet, but I see his gas tank outlasting Dolidze's, and I may eat my words here for picking against this guy because last time I picked him to upset, he upset. But I'm going to take Jack Hermanson to pull out a very, very close decision here.
After all that, you go with Hermanson.
I know it, right?
What the shit?
But Hermanson just went to a split decision with Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland just fought, you know, you use your MMA math. Dolidze is still very, very new to this game. And I think that Hermanson's smart enough to stay away from getting pounded out with one of the first or second round bombs that Dolidze is going to throw at him, and he's going to turn it into a points fight.
Very nice. It's
the only way I see him winning, and I just don't see Dolidze
Faceman agrees with you
enough to finish him. So I'm going to say Hermanson lasts it out and wins a very close decision here.
Yeah, but it could go either way. Faceman says he agrees with you. So Dave's watching. So. If that gives you any validation. But also, Mickey Severinsen talking about Roman, saying that anybody whose name can be used as these nuts, I'm cheering for as well. So, Dolidze, these nuts. Bill, what say you?
I disagree.
Look. Oh, could we get it down to two here if I like this explanation.
Here's why. I think this is probably the second best matchup on this fight card. I think this is a very good matchup. And Joe's argument for why Hermanson could win is a very, very valid argument. And it's that Hermanson is a craftier guy. He's lost to the better guys. Like, his losses are not bad losses. I mean, he's got losses to some solid fighters out there. And I think the gas tank, if Hermanson wins, it's going to be a gas tank reason. Doleeds is my DraftKings sleeper because he is a plus 165 right now. I think that's probably about right, to be honest with you. But Dulce is on a fucking tear, like Joe said. He just rocked Daukaus, and then he rocked Phil Halls in his last fight. His last one was Phil Halls. That was another first rounder. Dulce is a bully. I just think Hermanson has fought the bullies, so I need Dulce's gas tank to last a little longer than he's been training on. Hopefully, I think he's got a really smart corner to help him with that. So I'm picking Dulce. I don't think it's going to be a first round TKO like he's used to. Because Hermanson's just a tough SOB. He's got some losses, but those are his early KOs are just some guys who throw bombs, you know, like Santos or I think Jared Cannonier. Like I said, Hermanson's losses are
big girl.
Yeah, and big girl. Yeah. I just think Dulce's on a tear, and I think it's his time. And I think Hermanson's kind of on the downslope. The only thing that does scare me about this fight is the fact that Hermanson's got a very good resume, and he's a crafty veteran who's kind of got a chin. So Dulce needs to be smart about this fight. But I got Dulce as my DraftKings sleeper, and I got Dulce pulling out a decision on this one.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and throw a point on this. All right, I'm
fantastic.
I'm confident in the infantrymen on this one.
It's going to be a great fight.
Full send. Yeah. All right. Hey,
if I lose a point on this fight to Joe, like I wouldn't be upset about it.
All right, and then before we go to the next fight, I got to go with that. Jeff Hartman just tuned in to watch, and he's apparently a part of the secret society of the Freemasons, seeing as that's his profile picture. So good job being real secret about the secret society, you Freemason. All right. Anyways, so never understood that. Maybe somebody could come on and tell me. All right. Oh, here we go. These are my boys.
Neither Bill nor I is going to like this next pick.
All right. Tuivasa. That's the big fat guy that drinks beer out of people's shoes.
The shoeies. He drinks the shoeies.
Not his shoe, which is still gross. Like, he'll drink it out of your shoe.
Mm-hmm. Like, you pick the shoe,
and he's drinking a beer out of this guy's wild. All right, 15-4, and Pavlovich at 16-1. I mean, that's a pretty old guy, right? The coach of the Spurs. So, I don't really know if that guy's gonna be able to last.
It's not George Popovich.
Oh, it's not Popovich. Okay, yeah, no. I thought it was the same guy, but this is like
great grandson.
Yeah, but no. Anyways, I actually do have a take on this, an educated one, because I watched this last fight with Tuivasa and then Ciryl Gane, right? That was the last one?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That, like, dude, Tuivasa got knocked out like 7 times.
He did. Ciryl Gane admitted that he was out on that one shot from Tuivasa. He's He's like, I came to and he was running at me and I knew I had to get up quick. He's like, no, he put me out.
Yeah. Yep. But the thing is,
because he stiffened completely.
So I'm gonna say that Tuivasa is one of the greatest warriors I've ever seen in the octagon.
Yes.
However, I don't. Is this chin? You guys can tell me. Is this chin still there? Because like, dude got knocked out like 4 times in one fight. I mean, he's tough enough to get back up, but like, he got knocked out. So I'm going George Popovich by KO. So Bill, what say you?
God, I hate this fight. Full disclosure, Joe and I talked about this fight specifically before we came on the show.
Bill, tell anybody listening how much punishment he took in that Ciryl Gane fight. Yeah, what was different about it?
Everybody knows, if you've been watching this show a while, Ty Tuivasa is one of my most favorite fighters in the history of the U. I love this man. However, I've also been on the Ciryl Gane train a long time. I was on it early. And Ciryl Gane is a 6'6", 270-pound guy when he walks in the ring. And he hit Ty Tuivasa with a body kick 34 times that fight.
And every one of them hurt.
Yeah, and Ty got put out a couple of times in that fight, too. Ty admitted it. He's like, yeah, there's a couple of times I came to stumbling back. And because of that, I think this fight is too early for Ty. It actually kind of makes me mad at Dana White for this. But Dana, I think this is another one's fight where Dana needed someone to fight and fight soon. And he knows Ty Dubas is that guy that's just going to slam a beer and come out into the ring and get in a bar fight. Ty took a lot of damage that fight. Sarah Gunn is a big, bad dude, and he landed a lot of strikes on Ty. And that wasn't that long ago. I think Ty needs more time. Second, I think people have been sleeping on Pavlovich as well. I think they've been sleeping on him for a while, and I think that last time he knocked out last Derek Lewis. Pavlovich is also...
I guess those in Texas.
Let me get... And again, Pavlovich is a big, bad dude. I mean, he's a 6'3", probably comes in 260-ish. And in his last seven fights, he's left the first round once. Yeah, he beat Derek Lewis in 55 seconds. And it was in Dallas, Texas.
There you go.
So here's the thing. Pavlovich is, I think this is, I don't want to say journeyman because that's disrespectful to Ty. I think Ty Tuivasa is Pavlovich's test to whether he fights a top five guy next. Ty is a number four guy. I think Pavlovich is the next guy to fight for the belt, you know, two fights from now.
Gotcha.
And Pavlovich has been sleeping dudes. Like I said, seven fights, he's left the first round once. And that last one, he won a five fighter. The last time he lost was to Alistair Overeem, which is not a bad loss either. Alistair is also a big, bad dude.
That was his first UFC fight.
Yeah, Pavlovich is a minus 225. I'm picking Pavlovich on this one. I think it's just too early for Ty now. If this fight was 4 months from now, I'm taking Ty Tuivasa. But since it's tomorrow, I'm picking Pavlovich. But the safe bet, I'm going to talk about it later, but I'll say it again. I got Pavlovich on this one. Ty Tuivasa only has one fighting style, and that's forward and angry. if you want the smart bet, you take the under on this one all day. This fight is not leaving round one. I promise you.
Yeah.
Pavlovich and Ty are coming at each other, and they're going to throw just absolute nuclear strikes at each other. This fight does not leave the first round. I got Pavlovich winning for sake of this show. For betting purposes, I'm telling you, you take the under on this fight. These guys are not leaving the first round. I promise you that.
There you go. Joe, what say you?
Yeah, I got Pavlovich. 9 inches of reach.
That's huge.
That's all. That's insane. When he was hitting Derek Lewis, he was tucking uppercuts in on a couple of strikes because he was too close. That was with Derek Lewis, who has 4 inches of reach on Ty Tuivasa. I just don't think Ty can get close enough to him without
this is the fight that
one of those lunchbox left hands.
Yeah.
Pavlovich has dialed in his straight left to where it's good night. It's Derek Lewis's right hand. It's Chuck Liddell's overhand right. It's say hello to Klaus. You're on Dream Street. And Ty comes forward way too much. And if that thing hits you, it's peeling the first knuckle on the point of your chin and the pinky knuckle somewhere around your forehead because it covers your whole face. So I got Pavlovich winning and first round TKO.
So this is
I wouldn't be surprised to see him.
And here's the other thing. Weirdly, if you look at Ty's losses, he does weirdly bad against Eastern Bloc dudes. I don't know why. Some weird gambling statistic I'm looking at. But Ty Tuivasa does bad against guys with more than
I guess people who eat mealworms
in their last name. Yeah, I mean, if their name ends in Vich or Ski, Ty does bad against them.
If there's a of at the last name.
But so you guys are saying that this is the fight that, hey, you put your drink down and just watch it for a minute. Like watch this go nuts.
It might only be a minute.
Man. All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if this fight ends in under a minute.
All right. Let's go to the next one. It's a flyweight, which is my favorite group of people. Right. Yes, and then again, I'm going to throw it out there that I will, as a 100% permanent and total disabled wounded warrior, I will fight any UFC flyweight. Right. I will fight you right now. Okay. Like, and we're like, let's just stop it. All right. So where's Delber at? We got to take Drew in this. Drew's a little bit heavier than a flyweight, but maybe he could hook it up. But I will fight any flyweight in the UFC, like right now. Like, I got a battery in my ass and wires in my spine.
I'm with you on that one.
Let's go. All right.
I'll corner you for that.
Yeah. Give me a rope.
I'm 120 pounds heavier than both these dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I'll walk. Yeah. I'll walk down with you.
Yeah. Okay. We got Nicolau at 18-3 versus Matthew Christopher. And guess what? You can't even do the research on this guy's name because it's like six dots. So who knows who this guy is? Like, he's got more names than he has pounds in his body at 16-6. I'm not calling this stupid fight. All right, this tiny people fight. So, Bill, who you got?
Me again. I like it. I got Nicolau on this one. And Nicolau is also the heavy favorite.
Oh, is it Joe's turn? Sorry,
one.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. On this one.
I've been drinking.
I promise you, Joe's going with Nicolau on this one. Listen, I was impressed with Nat Chanel in his last fight when he fought, what was his name, Joe? Sue Madaraji or whatever it was.
Murderjai.
Murderjai hit him with like 19 elbows, and somehow Matt Chanel stayed awake and pulled off a submission. Nicolau.
So it's Matthew Christopher Schnell?
Yeah.
I don't like this guy at
Schnell's
all.
Schnell's a tough guy.
Oh,
he fights out of Poirier's camp. I like the guy. I don't think he's going to win this fight, though. However,
hey, Schnell, anytime you want it.
I don't think these guys are also these one-punch knockout guys either. This is going to be a decision for sure. I think Nicolau takes it. Joe might talk about a submission on this one, which I don't think is far off. But I think this one's going to be a decision. Nicolau, these guys are just too little, and they don't pack that huge power, which is very rare for the 125ers. Only a few guys have that power. These two ain't it. So I got Nicolau by decision on this one. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it was a split decision, to be honest with you, depending on who the judges are. I'd have to see the names. But I got Nicolau by decision on this one. He's just that much better than Schnell. And I think, but none of them are that no shit, they can end anybody at any moment power type guys. So I got Nicolau by decision.
Nice. So, Joe, I'm sorry I skipped you. I will flog myself later.
Okay.
And then I'll get over it. But all right. Who you got?
Yeah, no, I got exactly the same thing.
I knew that already.
I got Nicolau pulling out the decision.
B and definitely, J on there. Like,
definitely the much more well-rounded fighter. But out of 18 wins, Schnell's got 9 finishes. That's not a good finishing rate. And, Nicolau could finish Schnell off, but once again, we could go to a pity pat, stand on your feet, you know, Schnell takes the worst of it. And, we're all put to sleep by it. So I think Nicolau is a better talent. And I got him winning by unanimous decision.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Let's stay with Joe for the co-main. That way we can actually have a different person who picks the main event first. But let's stay with Joe. And we got a welterweight with Barbarina. All right. 18-8 versus Dos Anjos. At 31-14. Now, because I've been living in El Paso for 13 years, I can explain that. I could say that name, Dos Anjos. All right. So, anyways.
Hopefully me soon.
Yeah, I looked at this fight card, and I was like, it's going to be a draw. All right. So, put money on the draw. It's happening. Because both of these guys are coming to the ring with walkers. All right. Like, one's 40. The other one has, 45 fights. Like, this has to be what are these people doing? Like, do they not made enough money? So, Joe, what do you got?
I got RDA on this one. Rafael Dos Anjos.
No,
No. Okay. Not at all. Matter of fact, I got him as one of my locks of the night.
So does Vegas at a minus 560.
Exactly.
In the co-main?
I don't really like. I saw Barbarena going up against Dos Anjos, and I was kind of like, why? Like, why? You know, Dos Anjos has held, he's held a belt. Robbie was going back and forth with Barbarena before Barbarena turned it on and put him out. And the one thing Barbarena has a lot of trouble with is when guys attack multiple angles. And Dos Anjos does that with the best of them. And if you want to wrestle, Dos Anjos can wrestle. He's not one of these Brazilian strikers who doesn't know what to do. He will wrestle your fucking ears off. So I don't really see Barbarena being able to keep up with the low kicks, the striking, and the wrestling of RDA. RDA, he's still got it. And when he's lost in recent years, he's lost to the best. And he's been right in there. He was right in there with Fiziev for all five rounds. And if he can handle Rafael Fiziev for five rounds, he can handle Brian Barbarena in a three-rounder. And I got RDA winning unanimous decision.
Nice, by decision. So draws in play.
Barbarena is a tough son of a gun.
I'm just saying, if it goes to decision, that means draws in play. Right now,
if Sal D'Amato is sitting there having a couple of cognacs,
hey, he hooked us up. He hooked us up 2 weeks ago. We got a Sal fucking win. So, as soon as they said his name, he was judging. I was like, oh no, we lost. And then we got the win. All right, so Bill, what say you?
I'm with Joe on this one. It's just Anjos. Here's the thing. This matchup doesn't even make sense to me. I don't even know why they threw it on here. RDA is going to beat the shit out of this dude. I think Barbarina is another one of those guys. I think it's just fighting for beer money at this point. He knows he's not going to win the belt, and especially in this weight class, he doesn't stand a chance of winning the belt in this. And Dos Anjos, I mean, you see his 14 losses, but if he's lost, I'm looking at it right now, five times since 18. But here's his five losses. Colby Covington, who would own the belt if it wasn't for Kamaru Usman. Then he lost to Kamaru Usman, who's one of the best who's ever done it. Then he lost to Leon Edwards, who won the belt from Kamaru Usman. Then lost to Chiesa, won a couple fights, and then lost to Rafael Fiziev, who has a chance to win the belt. So RDA has lost five in the last, eight? But they have been to the best of the best of this week.
They haven't been to Brian fucking Barbarena. Yeah.
Barbarena is just a dumpster fire who's fighting all the old guys. He had a split decision win against Matt Brown, who also should be retired.
He's 39 lost to years Jason, old.
He lost to Jason Witt, for Christ's sakes, and then lost to Randy Brown and Vincent Luque. I mean,
I'm going old Barbarina man strength should here. Not, old man strength.
But so does RDA. So here's RDA. He's lost to the best of the best. Barbarina's lost to fucking garbage pail kids for all you old guys out there.
Yeah, who knows what that is?
RDA is going into this fight with the it's my lock too. He's going in as a minus 560. So he's not going to help a parlay unless you do a long one, which I got a pretty decent parlay we'll give you. So does Joe, I'm sure. And I guarantee you RDA is in there somewhere. RDA is going to beat the shit out of Barbarena. Nobody's doubting this. Why is a co-main? I don't know. Who made this matchup? I don't know. Personally, if I was going to make a co-main, it'd be Ty and Pavlovich, because at least those guys are just going
to... Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been great to get the crowd pumped up.
So I don't know why they did this match, but who knows? Dana White's a billionaire. Who am I to question him?
Yeah. I mean, we do drive Dodge Stratuses, so it's good.
Either way, RDA is a lock, and RDA is going to win this fight. I got it by decision, but who knows? He could absolutely sleep Barbarena too. But RDA decision, majority decision for sure.
All right, there you have it, fight fans, and we're getting to the main event now, and we're going to stick with Bill. All right, and we got a welterweight fight. Oh, little guys again. All right, Thompson 16-6-1 versus Holland 23-8. And you know what? I'm going to give George Pardos, a little bit of love here. because his beloved Buckeyes got the absolute shit kicked out of them, you know, by Michigan, which thank God I bet the over in that game, just praying for good weather, because I did not want to touch that spread. Maybe I should have. Anyways, I got Thompson heel hook for George Parnos. All right, so Bill, what say you?
Heel hook? Definitely not.
Well, it's for George.
Okay.
Yeah, but Thompson's not pulling off any submission.
God damn it. I'm leaving this one off of all the parlays. Here's why. Holland, you never know which Holland is walking into the ring. Now, granted, Holland lost his last fight to who I consider the baddest dude in UFC right now, Khamzat Chimaev, who is a legit lunatic. I mean, Holland talked shit to Chimaev on Twitter. Chimaev showed up, kicked him backstage, went out and ate a big dinner, missed weight on purpose just so he could fight Holland and beat his ass in like 50 seconds. I don't count that one. Chimaev is a legit lunatic who I think is winning two belts soon. I got Holland winning this fight. However, what scares the shit out of me is Wonderboy Thompson comes in, lays Holland on his back, and they do. And Holland spends more time talking shit than fighting the fight. Which is why I'm not putting it in any parlays. However, I got Holland winning this fight. I got decision, but he absolutely could pull off a submission
like or a TKO.
He could. Or a TKO, because yep. Listen, Wonderboy Thompson's been TKO'd early before, too.
Anthony Pettis.
Like, who taps on a heel hook? Like, do you really need your foot? Like, I don't care.
I got Holland on this one by decision. I think it could end by TKO, because Holland's knocked someone out off his back before. My worry is Wonderboy just lays and prays on top of Holland for three rounds and makes it boring like that Brunson fight. I don't think so. I think Holland has something to prove after Chimaev just made him look like a six-year-old. I got Holland by decision on this one. But I'm leaving it off of any betting parlay because you never know which Holland's walking in.
All right, Joe, what say you on the main event?
Yeah, I actually have Holland, but I've got him by submission here. And the reason why is Wonderboy, which is Thompson's name, nickname. Wonderboy is the nicest guy in the world. Like, some of the best shit talkers in the world have fought him and said, like, it's not even fun building a fight with this guy because he didn't talk shit. He runs a karate school in South Carolina.
So he's like Daniel LaRusso.
He is Daniel LaRusso. That's who he is. He's just a great guy.
Watch the show, Dan. He's kind of a dickhead.
Right. Well, if you ever watch it on YouTube,
if you ever watched the original movie, Daniel LaRusso is the one that stole the guy's girlfriend.
Yeah, he's a bully. Daniel's a bully. Johnny's a good guy.
I created him to more like the
Johnny was just trying to hang out, you know, like.
And I just like Dutch with the blonde curls because he was always tooted up on coke. But Joe's right.
Wonderboy is more like GSP's personality and attitude. Like, everybody just loves him. He's just a good dude.
Yeah, he doesn't talk any trash. And, you know, and then I can see Holland in there with every strike, you know, talking shit, and Kevin or, you know, Wonderboy being like, yeah, Kevin, you're the man, and slapping gloves between strikes. And then Holland hits him out of nowhere with one of these 6-inch reach punches that he has, because he does have a 6-inch reach advantage. And if they go to the ground, what does Thompson do? He's a karate guy. There's nothing he can do. And Holland has tapped people out via Darce choke before, and I'm going to say he gets another Darce choke. And Stephen Wonderboy Thompson gets submitted in the third round by Kevin Holland via Darce choke. So I got Kevin Holland via submission.
All right, perfect. All right, hey, let's get to it. Let's get to where I make money. All right, this is, hey, those of you watching who stuck around, you're going to make money here. Those of you fast-forwarding after rewatching it to this part, this is where you make money. Dan Dexter, that's what he's doing right now. All right, so, Joe, the parlays, the locks, the DraftKings sleeper. Send it.
You know, my DraftKings sleeper is actually Marcelo Rojo on the prelims. He's fighting a kid who's 6-0, and I believe that the experience will be the difference here, and I like Rojo to pull off an upset. My locks are going to be Dykes over Michael Johnson in the prelims. I don't think that Michael Johnson has anywhere near the wrestling he's going to need against that guy. And it could be a boring fight, but I don't think that Johnson possesses the skill set to go to the ground with this kid. Mark Dykes is one of my I'm probably saying his name all wrong because I've heard it said several ways, is one of my locks. But Scott Holtzman is another one over Clay Guida. Holtzman is 39 years old, but he's a monster. And Clay Guida, go away. Just stop it now. I know you've surprised us before. You've made us all look like idiots, but knock it off. It's over with. Cut it out. And then Pavlovich and Tuivasa to not go to the scorecards.
Fuck no.
Those are my three locks. My parlay is going to start in the prelims with actually the first fight. I'm going to butcher this. I believe the J is silent. Uruguay or Uruguay over Isela Nunez.
Absolutely.
Take her in the first fight, money line. Then we're going up top. We're going to go Jonathan Pierce, money line over Darren Elkins. Dykes, money line over Michael Johnson. Holtzman, money line over Clay Guida. Then I like Philip Rowe to beat Nico Price in the featured prelim bout of the night. Sergey Pavlovich and Tai Tuivasa to go under the distance. Mateus Nicolau and RDA. And that's my parlay.
Rafael
Dos Anjos.
That sounded like a lot. Can you just go through a quick run through so I can take my notes? Yep. Give me your locks and your parlay.
My locks?
Yeah.
One more time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just real quick.
Right. Mark Dykes over Michael Johnson in the prelims.
You got it.
Scott Holtzman over Clay Guida. Sergey Pavlovich and Tai Tuivasa under the distance.
Okay, yeah, got that one. All right, and then add those, and then add the rest that you said on there.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. All right. I didn't know if I was. I got lost in my bourbon and whether or not I should be betting a couple of those names. All right, so Bill, let's say you.
Okay, here I'm actually going to give you guys a 9-fight parlay tonight.
Oh shit.
That I think is pretty solid. I have a 9-fight parlay that is really solid. And one of Joe's parlays underneath has one of my locks in it.
I'm going to put $100 on it.
Okay, so
screw this up.
My locks, RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos is one of my locks. My second lock Joe talked about is the first fight of the night. This girl, Yasmin, is 100% going to whoop Estela Nunez's ass. She's a new up-and-comer who has ended a lot of girls in these other fight leagues in, like, the first round. She's one of these new up-and-comers that has them hands, as we say. So Yasmin, I'm going to butcher her name, Uruguay, whatever her name is. She's one of my locks. So here's my parlay, and I'm going to read it straight down my bookie, how I'm about to bet it. So first fight of the night, Yasmin, money line. Jonathan Pierce, money line. Heavy favorite. He's a minus my 555 on my bookie. Pierce is definitely going to beat the shit out of Darren Elkins. Mark Diakasey, money line. Scott Holtzman over Clay Guida. I'm with Joe on that one. Clay, just go away. Money line. Next fight is Emily Ducati, Angela Hill. Take the over on that one. That fight could go either way winner-wise, but it's definitely going to go to a decision. It's just their fighting style.
So Angela Hill can't be finished.
Yeah. And then skip down two fights. Take Kyle Daukaus money line. Pavlovich Tuivasa, take the under. Then skip down, go to Nicolau over Matt Schnell, money line, and Dos Anjos money line. So I'll say that one more time. Yasmin, money line. Jonathan Pierce, money line. Mark Diakasey, money line. Scott Holtzman, money line. Angela Hill versus Emily Ducati, take the over. Kyle Daukaus, money line. Tai Tuivasa, Sergey Pavlovich, take the under. Nicolau, money line. Dos Anjos, money line. And right now, my bookie, that nine fighter is a plus 1,027.
I'm going to win $1,000 tomorrow, baby.
$10 pays you back 127.
$10 pays me 102.78.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah.
Bet officially placed right now, and I'll post that on Send It 7.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Well, hey, there you have it, fight fans. All right. So take a little bit of a break. Go refill your drink. And then we'll get to the big Earl's NFL locks. And then, hey, one more time. Hopefully they re-up with us. But Fleet Text, FLEET-TECHS, FleetText.com is hiring veterans. If you need a job with potential six-figure earnings, go to FleetText.com and check them out. Please do it. All right. If you need a job. Stop begging for Christmas money. Just go make it. All right. So we'll see you in a couple of minutes. What's up, sports fans? Are you looking for a job? Do you want to change in careers? Do you want to own your own business? I got the answer for you. This show is brought to you by Fleet Techs. Fleet Techs is partnering with veterans with mechanical or electronic experience. Fleet Techs specializes in on-site deployment of GPS tracking equipment and cameras for fleet vehicles across our nation. Check out what they do at www.fleettechs.com. Apply today. Currently targeting veterans living in Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. Local work and travel opportunities may be available in other areas. Fleet Techs proudly supports our military, its service members, our veterans, and their families. All right, we're back. All right, not a very long break. Hopefully you don't have a big house that you had to go run and get your drink for, but I was able to fill my drink up with 10th Mountain Bourbon. Okay, it's right here. All right, this is why I have my wisdom. All right, and this is why everything goes smooth on this show. All right, hey, go to 10thmountainwhiskey.com and put in the code VTT and get yourself a discount on that bourbon. Or they got rye, they got vodka, they got all kinds of stuff. It's pretty phenomenal. But all right, well, the big Earl is on a hot streak. All right, I didn't get to call my locks on Thanksgiving, but I would have called two of those games locks. So that put me at I'm plus four now on the year. However, remember, pick your parlay smart. And let's go back to the UFC picks. If you go back there, don't put all your money on that nine-fight parlay, okay? Put 10 to 15 bucks on each lock that they said, and then put some money on the parlays. Just do it that way. When I give you my locks or I say, hey, I think these guys will cover, put your money on those games. All right. Most likely you're going to hit three or four out of the four. All right. So that'll put you in the plus column. And don't bet Bowling Green versus, Austin Peay in a basketball game, Joe. So yeah,
don't bet the alternative rushing yards for Utah's quarterback against North Texas, because I tell you what, that kid was in on it. All right. He was in on it. That's why I lost. He was in on it.
But first of all, we got to get through these games quick because.
All right, let's do it.
The USC Utah game is on. And if you haven't watched that quarterback for USC play, all right, he's Williams, freaking.
So real. Is the quarterback he's playing against.
No, not even close. Not even on the same page.
40, no. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying it's going to be an explosion like last time they played this season when it was a 43-42 upset by Utah. And I think USC's got something to prove. And Caleb Williams, you want to win the Heisman? Here you go.
Well, I want to see him play against Georgia in the playoffs. So I really hope USC wins because I want to see him play against the future, like the first seven of the first 12 draft picks, right? Coming off of Georgia's defense. So let's just see how he does. But oh my God, he looks like Vince Young. Like he's bad. Yeah.
We starting the NFL Sunday off, we got Pittsburgh rolling into Atlanta, and that game is a pick 'em with a 42.5 over under. I like Atlanta, but I don't know.
I call this the Pop Warner game.
Yeah, I like Atlanta big time here, and Atlanta's still in the playoff race. So I like Atlanta here. I want to make them a lock, but I don't have to. Just pick Atlanta.
So we got Green Bay going into Chicago at noon. Green Bay is a -3 with a 44.5 over under.
Yeah, -3 favorite on the road. Now, the big girl is usually 100% objective when he picks football, but not today. Okay. So I will never, ever pick the Bears to win against the Packers, ever. I don't care what you say. So take that for your betting advice. I do want to say, if you watch Green Bay last week and Jordan Love came in, all right, Jordan Love came in and ripped some passes and threw the ball out on 3-step drops, which is what the freaking offense is supposed to do, right? And they scored 10 points in 5 minutes with Jordan Love. So whoever plays quarterback there, I don't know. Because Rodgers might not play, but I think
something to be said for when you lose your receivers, Aaron. I'm just saying. Exactly. We got Jacksonville going into Detroit, and I know Jacksonville had a slight edge in the books when this started, but now we've got another pick 'em.
The money is on the Lions.
Yeah, with a 51 over under.
I think the Lions, if you can tease this, put the Lions by 2 scores. I think the Lions.
Yeah, you definitely can tease it up and make them give points and get paid more.
I think the Lions win by 2 scores here. Like, I honestly do. I
like them to win the game. Yeah. With the way they've been playing, sure. We got the
Jets. Why I say that, because Jacksonville's just as bad at blowing games as the Lions are. So it's right.
We're not the worst. No, I'm just kidding. We got the Jets rolling into Minnesota. Minnesota's 3-point home favorites with a 44.5 over under.
Yeah, first lock of the week is Minnesota again. All right. You can keep sleeping on Minnesota and making them 3-point favorites. Thank you, betting gods. All right. Because I think go back and watch the last 8 shows. Like, I think I pick Minnesota every time they're a 3-point favorite, and they're 9-1. So, or 8-2, whatever the fuck the record is. But, like, pretty much won every game. So, yeah. Minnesota.
All right. We got the Washington Commanders rolling in to play the New York Football Giants. And the Giants are +2 dogs at home with a 40.5 over under.
Yeah. Giants have been playing like crap lately. Just crap. But I'm taking him as an upset. Take the Giants money line. Like, they got to win. They got to.
Very, very.
And they're healthy. So what's the problem? They got to win.
Yeah, we got an interesting football game coming up here. Tennessee rolling into Philly. Philly is 4.5-point favorites with a 44 over under.
All right, another lock here. All right, Philly's rolling this game. Philly is rolling this game. Tennessee's defense is absolute trash, okay? And Philly's defense is good enough to keep Henry healthy to about 160 yards. So it's like not 220. Right. So
maybe.
No, remember, 160 yards is a career game for anybody, but that's an average for Derrick Henry.
You keep Derrick Henry to 160 and keep Tannehill in check, and you're winning the game.
Well, Tannehill usually keeps himself in check, but yeah.
That's touche. We got Denver rolling into Baltimore. Baltimore's given 9.5 with a 39.5 over under. I'm guessing that's because Denver's offense is putrid.
I lost this pick last week with Baltimore, obviously, but it's like I don't get it. So I mean, I can't pick this game. I would take Broncos to cover.
Yeah, I refuse to pick Baltimore after what I saw last week.
Exactly. I don't get
Broncos to cover is a safe bet, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just cover.
Because Baltimore's defense is garbage.
Yeah. They added up. They loaded up on defense in the trades. Like, what the?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we got Lamar on one side of the ball. and the over-under's 39.5.
He's been spotty.
The other offense has been putrid because
Lamar's Baltimore's not been defense, having a great year.
Right. Baltimore's defense is not a typical Baltimore Ravens defense. No. It's just not. I mean, that Miami game was everything you needed to know. What were they up, Nick? 24? But yeah. We got the Browns going in to play the Houston Texans in the Who Gives a Bowl. But the Texans are +7 dogs at home.
Joe, but why do we care about this? Why do we care about this game?
That's what I'm saying.
Deshaun Watson's coming back this week.
Isn't that
PC? So remarkable that the Illuminati made this happen?
Isn't that PC?
So, Deshaun Watson's going to come in and throw 6 touchdowns in this game, and Browns will win by a blowout. So there you have it. Lock that up.
Yeah, we got Seattle going to play the Rams. The Rams are 7-point home dogs. Ooh, with a 41 over under. Ouch, LA.
I'm gonna go Hawks here. I think the Hawks, actually I'll go Rams to cover 7. But I would put Hawks in here money line just in case they do run it out right away. But if this game doesn't get out of hand right away, Rams cover.
Yeah, we got now we're getting into some good football. We got Miami going into play the Niners. Going into play the Niners, and San Francisco is a 4-point home favorite with a 46 over under.
Yeah, and if you don't love the 49ers right now, if you haven't put half your bank account into the 49ers winning the Super Bowl, you're stupid. All right, like there is no way this team loses to anyone unless they bring Trey Lance back for some reason. Like that is the only way. It's 49ers. I wanted to make this a lock, but I can't make anybody a lock against Tyreek Hill in the NFL. Because even when you're down 24 points in the fourth quarter, he catches 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I don't know.
Yep.
So
we got the game that my son will be watching this week. We got Kansas City rolling into Cincinnati. And Cincinnati is a 2-point home dog with a 53 over-under.
Again, Ja'Marr Chase is the answer, right? Ja'Marr Chase comes back. Is he ready to play? I actually like the Chiefs here. I like the Chiefs here to, you know, make a statement. So, yeah. And that's a lock. That's a lock at +2.
We got the Chargers going to Vegas. Vegas is a 1-point home favorite with a 49.5 over under.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the Chargers here in an upset. So my upset parlay is the Giants and the Chargers.
All right. So we got, what is this? We're into Sunday Night Football now.
I think it's Monday night.
Was that the night game that I just went through?
That was Sunday night, Chargers, Raiders. I think so.
Damn it. Who's on Monday night with the Cowboys? Because I just hit the wrong button and froze my screen.
Yeah. No, Saints and Buccaneers.
No, Saints and Buccaneers is Monday.
Okay, well, the Cowboys are playing Sunday night.
Oh, Indianapolis and Dallas.
There we go.
Yeah, they're playing Colts.
Yeah,
Ass whooping.
It's an absolute ass whooping coming. So yeah.
Sorry, I didn't deliver the spread for you on that one, but just had the screen froze up. But we've already been to the Monday night game, so
yeah.
Figure out who do you got?
Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas is gonna beat that ass.
Beat the shit out.
Yes.
The Monday night game literally froze on me. So
all right, so we got New Orleans at New Orleans at the Buccaneers at 40.5 with -3.5. All right, so here's the thing. I can't trust Tampa Bay right now with their offensive line. I just don't know who's going to show up and play. If they're all pros show up, last week they didn't, and look what happened again. I'm not touching this game, but I'll pick the Bucs just in case their offensive linemen play today. Like, I don't know.
Like
that's a tough bet.
That's terrible. Stay away from it. But there you have it. All right, we have all of it. Let me give you my upset parlay again. Is the Chargers at the Raiders, and then Washington at the Giants. And then my locks for the week are obviously the Cowboys actually crushing. All right, the Chiefs. All right, the Vikings. And I said one more there, the Browns. Okay, so those are locks. So put money on those individual games. And then put money on the parlays, whatever you want to do.
Hey, I'll give a quick parlay off of my bookie for everybody. I threw $10 down on the Browns to win, Ravens to win, Lions to win, Vikings to win, the Eagles -4.5.
Well, the Eagles are my lock, yeah.
And Cowboys to win. $10 gets you $96 on my nice. Bookie.
And that's pretty solid.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
That's a really safe bet. And that's all money line?
That was the only one I didn't pick money line was Eagles by more than 4.5.
Good. Yeah. That works. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, guys.
Eagles are going to destroy them.
Yeah. I think so too. But all right, there you have it. And we'll see you tomorrow. We have, I already forgot who it was. I'm going to get up. I have been drinking bourbon, but he did a nice article about us on LinkedIn, which was super cool. But we do have a nonprofit coming on who specializes in finding jobs for veterans. All right. So let me look this up here real quick. Sorry, guys. Why is this taking so long? Yes. Boom. We got Jeremy Monty Montgomery coming on. All right. And he is going to share all of his information that he's got going on for hiring veterans. And he's an awesome dude. Can't wait to have him on. And I'm really excited for 2 weeks. So I'm going to say it again. We got retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann coming on Pineapple Express. He is going to.
I just read that book.
Yeah. Nice. So if you want to come on the show and talk with him.
Yeah. I just read his book. It's selling in Barnes & Noble right now. So go out and buy it, everyone.
I should have told Bill I got it sent to me for free, but it's fine. So.
Well, I support our veterans. So.
Boom. Yeah. So, it's called Fusion Cell. So go to Fusion Cell, look that up. They got a big following on LinkedIn, and we're going to have them on the show tomorrow. Other than that, I'm only talking now to make Chris mad because our producer wants to go do stuff. But every time I keep saying words that are, hey, see you later, he has to stay on longer. But okay, see you later.